Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 5 this morning. Matthew chapter number 5.
It's nice that spring has sprung. I was in Minnesota last week and it was all brown and cold. I flew in, it was 73 degrees and everything had turned green while I was gone. I said, oh amen, I'm glad to be home. Matthew chapter number 5. I got a question for you this morning. Kind of goes along with Brother Kim's testimony. The question is this. This is the title of the sermon, actually. Are you good enough to go to heaven? It's a good question, isn't it? Have you ever wondered, am I really good enough to go to heaven? Now, there's some people who know they're not good enough to go to heaven. But I think most people think that they're pretty good. Now, if you're pretty good, then the question is, how good do you have to be to get to heaven? You know, because you can say, yeah, I'm pretty good. I haven't killed anybody. And you make a list of things that you haven't done. But what about that list of things that you have done that aren't so good? So let's look what the scriptures say today and see just how good you have to be to go to heaven. All right, again, I hope you answered that question for yourself. Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's read in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 20. We'll just read the one verse to begin with here. Jesus was speaking. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And he's given some instructions here. And he says, verse number 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you will use your word this morning. And Lord, guide my thoughts and help me, Lord, to say something that will be a help to somebody. Lord, I think most of us would like to go to heaven, but not everyone's going to get to go just because they want to go. They've got to find what your word says about how to be forgiven and how to go to heaven. I pray that as we look at this simple subject from your word this morning, that it'll be clear. And Lord, someone who hasn't had the confidence that they're going to be in heaven will gain that confidence today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In our scripture here, we see a couple things. I want to show you that God, first of all, lays out a standard. There is a standard that has to be met if you want to get into heaven. Again, are you good enough to go to heaven? Well, you say, what's a standard? Well, it's a measurement. It's a mark. It's a certain set of criteria that has to be met. You know, when you go to the amusement park and you get in line in Great America, this, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I'd walk up and you see that line right there. If you want to ride those big, fast rides, you had to be at least that tall. And, you know, people be up there trying to stand on their tiptoes and, you know, wear the big fat shoes, whatever they could, to be able to ride that ride. You know, you had to meet the mark. If you don't meet the mark, you're not riding. Doesn't matter how much you want to ride, you're not going to get on the ride. And God has placed a mark that we must not only meet but exceed if we want to get into heaven. And what is that standard that we must pass? We just read it here in verse number 20. "For I say," we'll read it again, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness," that means all your goodness, "shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So you've got to not only be as good as the scribes and Pharisees, you've got to be better than they are, than they were. And if you're not better than they were, you're not getting in. So, let's consider the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Let's compare ourselves and see if I am in fact, better than the scribes and Pharisees. Because if you're not, you're not getting in. I mean, this is what Jesus said. So let's see. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 18 if you'd like to. I'm going to read a couple verses out of there. In Luke chapter number 18, we see a testimony of one of the Pharisees. Now these people, they really followed a lot of scriptures. They had a lot of rules and regulations that they followed. They tried to live a pretty good external life. And in Luke chapter number 18, let's look at a few things here. We find in verse number 11 and 12, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. Other men are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now let's look at this. First of all, we see the Pharisees praying. He was a praying man. A lot of people are not really praying people, and they think they're going to get into heaven. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get into heaven just because you're a praying person. Something else he did. He said, I'm not as other men are, extortioners. He wasn't unjustly trying to rip people off and get money. He wasn't a thief. He didn't steal. Have you ever stolen anything? I remember one time I heard the sound of the ice cream truck coming through the neighborhood. Oh, yes. I didn't have any money, but I knew where my parents had some coins. And so I went in there, I pulled the drawer open, I pulled all these nickels. You know, they had a Indian head on them. All those nice, old, rare coins that were worth something. And I took them out and I bought myself some ice cream. Oh, yeah. That guy was probably, he was laughing all the way to the bank saying, all right, I got some collector's items here. Oh, yeah, I was excited about getting my ice cream. I stole from my parents. Unfortunately, that wasn't the only time. Certainly, you've taken something that didn't belong to you and maybe even justified it. Not only that, he said that he was fair. He said he wasn't unjust. He was always fair to people. Can you say that? That you've always been fair to everybody? Well, if you say you have been, then introduce me to your brother or sister, because I'd like to talk to them and get their side of the story. Probably not. You probably don't have this testimony of being you're completely just, completely fair in everything you've done. He also said that he wasn't an adulterer. He never slept with someone that he wasn't married to. I think that would nix a lot of people right there from the list. Further, he said he fasted twice a week. I mean, praying and fasting, giving up food twice a week. A lot of people can't do that. And then he tithed of everything he owned. Everything he gave a tithe. 10% of everything was given to God. Have you done that for your entire life? Now, I dare say you haven't done that. And I'm not suggesting that you have to go and do all those things to get to heaven, because the Bible actually teaches that we're not saved by works of righteousness. But what I am trying to point out is, from the Scriptures, that if you have not met and exceeded the righteousness of the Pharisees, you're not good enough to go into heaven. And we can sit there and say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good person. It doesn't matter. You have to be better than the Pharisees to get into heaven. Something else, they knew the Bible. They were, the scribes and Pharisees, they studied the Scriptures for years. And they knew the first five books of the Old Testament extremely well. It's 187 chapters, over 5,000 verses. They poured time, hour after hour, studying the Scriptures. I don't think many people in our day and age spend that much time studying the Scriptures. It was their hobby to study the Bible. It's hard to motivate people to pick it up and read it once a day. But it was their hobby. It's something that they just loved to do. Further, they lived a life of self-denial. They had a long list of things that they wouldn't do. And they kept that list. I mean, we can't even keep a couple of New Year's resolutions. But they had this long list of things. I won't do this, I won't do this, I won't do this, and I will do this, and I will do this. And they kept those things. Are you better than the scribes and the Pharisees? You see, that's the standard that Jesus put. That's a pretty high mark. By the way, a lot of those scribes and Pharisees weren't saved either. A lot of those scribes and Pharisees didn't get to go to heaven, because even they had to exceed it, and they couldn't exceed it on their own. So first of all, we see the standard that God sets. And that standard is simply, it is holiness. and righteousness. But not only that, we want to see the shortcoming. We're in, if you're still around Matthew chapter 5, I want to show you something here. Right after he gives the standard here in verse 20, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then he begins to start pointing out their sin. And look in verse 21 and 22. He says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now that's pretty simple. If you kill, you murder, you're in trouble. Then he said in verse 22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, Jesus is warning. He said, it's not just if you go out and kill somebody in cold blood that makes you a murderer. He says, if you have hatred in your heart towards someone, you are just as guilty. It's not just the outward action. Jesus put it a little bit, made it a little bit more stringent. He said, if you have that attitude in your heart of hatred and bitterness, he said, it's just as much as you went and killed somebody. You're just as guilty and just as in need of the judgment and in danger of the judgment. Further, he gives another example here in verse 27, chapter 5, verse 27. He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Again, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Just like thou shalt not kill is one of the Ten Commandments. He says, you've heard that. Then now he makes it a little harder. He said in verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It's not just the act of doing something outwardly, but if it's in your heart, you're just as guilty. So Jesus was pointing out to these people, he said, you've got to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then he starts talking about sin. He starts talking about the Ten Commandments. He starts talking about it's not just an outward action, it's the attitude that you have. He said, by the way, if you think that you have exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, he says, let me start breaking it down for you. He starts getting into the scriptures. He starts trying to show them that they are guilty. And you know what? We are guilty. And anybody here can say, well, I haven't sinned. I've actually met people who said they've never sinned before. I wanted to look at them and say, you just did. Yeah, we've all sinned. And isn't that what Romans 3:23 says? It's a very familiar verse. If you've come to Sunday school and you've been in church for a while, you've heard Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. So, yeah, I know I've sinned. Yeah, we have all sinned. And then it continues, says, and come short of the glory of God. They'll say, well, I know that verse. Yeah, well, do you know what it means? We can say, yeah, I know it, but have you let it sink in? God is way up here. He's perfect. He's righteous. He's holy. He's without sin. And we're down here. And you want to get to heaven, and you keep trying maybe a little bit here. I'll do something good, and then you come short. You try a little something, you come short. Sin always pulls you down. How many times have you said, man, I know what I'm doing is wrong, and I'm going to stop. I'm never going to do that again. And what are you doing the next day or by the next week? Same exact thing. Why? Because you have no power in yourself to stop sinning. That sin keeps pulling you down. So Jesus is trying to show, here's the standard. And by the way, he said, just in case you think you're good enough, he says, I want to show you your shortcoming. You haven't met the standard. Now, while we were living in Africa, of course, as missionaries, you know, you didn't just go and buy everything at the store. We would go and get our eggs. There was a farmer who brought his eggs to town, and then there was a little alley. We'd walk up there, and there's a little shop back there, and we'd get there and get in line, and people would buy eggs by the tray. And so I remember one time going into get in line, get some eggs. And there was a little boy in line, and he wanted a tray of eggs. And he gave the lady the money. Now, the price of eggs sometimes would go up and down. He gave the lady the money, but he was short. He didn't have enough. And despite his real, I mean, he was in shock. He was a poor little boy. He was trying to get some eggs, no doubt, for his mother sent him with some money. And he just kind of looking like, that's not enough. I thought that's enough. And he was real in a quandary. I'm sure he probably walked quite a ways to get there. And despite his effort to come and get eggs, despite his sincerity thinking he had enough money, despite all the hard work of trying to get the eggs, and despite the fact he had to go home and tell mom he didn't have enough to get eggs, he was all worried. Despite all that, though, the lady at the shop would not give him his eggs. He offered all that he had, but it wasn't enough. He was rejected. Why? He was short. He was short. They're not in the business to lose money, right? Now, of course, someone who had more than he could come in and help out. Amen? And so I was able to top up what he didn't have, and he was able to get his eggs. That's not my point I want to make, though. Is the point is this. You may have a sincere desire to get to heaven, and you may offer all that you have, all your good works, but let me tell you, it's not enough. You're still coming short. And you don't need Jesus to come and top up what you don't have enough to make up with. No, you need him to take care and do the whole thing. Because we don't have enough. We fall short of his glory. And it's sad that after God says that we've come short, a lot of religions tell us that our good works will get us to heaven. Man, I'll tell you what, you go to one church, you'll say, you got to keep the Ten Commandments to go to heaven. You go to another church, they say, if you give us money, you'll get to go to heaven. Another church, you know, if you do a lot of good works, in another church, you got to get baptized. And all these things, they say, do this, 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 and this. I remember one time, I was talking to a guy, he was all excited because he was just getting ordained to be a preacher. I said, okay, according to your church, what do I have to do to be saved? He said, he gave me a few things. He said, well, you got to do a lot of good things. You got to follow Jesus. You got to keep the Ten Commandments. I said, is that enough? He said, no, you got to get baptized. And he goes down a few more things. I said, well, is that enough? He said, no. And then he gives me a couple more. I said, well, is that enough? If I do all of that, is that enough to get me into heaven? He says, no, the Bible has a lot of things, and you got to do all those things to get to heaven. So I said, you can't tell me what I've got to do to get to heaven? No, he couldn't, because he didn't know how to get to heaven. A lot of people think, well, I just got to do my best. I keep working at it, and then maybe God at the end will be merciful, and maybe I'll get in. No. We just read, you're not good enough to get in. I'm not good enough to get in. We have come short of the glory of God. And you can say, well, certainly my good works count for something, don't they? Well, let's ask Isaiah the prophet. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6, he's going to give us the answer. Do our good works count for something as far as getting into heaven? Well, in Isaiah 64, verse 6, Isaiah said, but we, now he included himself with that we, not just you, he says, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses, every one of our good works, all of them, are as filthy rags. A filthy rag. Now, if you just, you know, cut yourself and you wanted to get that wound cleaned up and you're looking around, all you see was this dirty old rag that was used to change the oil and to wipe down some infected, you know, countertop. And it just filled with, you know, dirt and grease and grime and pus and bacteria and mold and all that. Would you take that, pick it up, and start cleaning up your wound? Probably not. It's a filthy rag. What's it good for? Nothing. It's rejected. It's a filthy rag. And God says that all, not some, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You say, yeah, but I'm good. I help people. Listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't be good. We need more good people in the world. And I'm not saying we shouldn't keep the Ten Commandments, because I don't think everyone should go around killing everybody and stealing from everybody. But what I'm trying to show you from the Scriptures is that is not what gets us into heaven. Our good works are not what get us into heaven. What God is trying to get us to see, that our best works, the best that we have to offer, when we give it to God, it's still filthy in His sight. Okay, let me explain it this way. If you've got children, or if you are a child, if you got children and you tell your child to go clean the room, and then they come back later and say, now, did you clean your room? Yes, it's all clean. I'm going to go check it. Oh, yeah, go ahead and check it. It's all clean. And then you go start looking, and you find this over here, and you find this. You find the pile of, you know, socks on, you know, under the bed, and you find the, you know, all the dust under the, in the corner, and you find, you know, candy wrappers everywhere, and you're saying, I thought you said it was clean, and they look, yeah, I thought it was too. Right? They actually thought they had cleaned it up. They really did. But their standard of cleanliness and your standard are very different, aren't they? Their eyes and your eyes see completely differently. And that's how it is when we come to God. We say, Lord, I'm a good person. I've got all these are really good things I'm offering to you. And God says, you call that good? That's not clean. He said, well, I gave to help somebody. Yeah, why'd you give? Well, to help somebody. Well, to get into favor with them so that when you have a need, they're going to give to you, right? Oh, well, don't judge my motives. Well, God does. See, God sees through everything. In even our best works, we still fall short. So Isaiah said that our righteousness are as filthy rags in God's sight. So your works, your good works, just like my good works, have done nothing to save me, they'll do nothing to save you. And therefore, we're still stuck with the same answer. We're not good enough to go to heaven. Well, if you don't believe Isaiah, what about Jesus? Let's see what he says. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Okay? Matthew chapter 5 is where we began, and that's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. If you continue to read, you'll read through chapter 7, and chapter 7 is still part of the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus started by saying, you've got to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then he starts talking about sin there in chapter 5, and he gives all sorts of different instructions. He's going through all these teachings. Now he's still talking to these people, trying to get them to see that their good works were not going to be good enough to get them into heaven. So we're going to pick it up here in chapter 7, verse number 22. He said, many will say to me in that day, in what day? That's the judgment day. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. These are pretty good people. Look what they did. They had they were praying. They were saying, Lord, Lord. They were prophesying. That means they were preaching in Jesus' name. And they had cast out devils, demons. That seems pretty powerful to me. Not only that, but look what it says. And in thy name done a couple of good works. No. They had done many wonderful works. A lot of really, really good things they had done. So Jesus said, not a few, but many people are going to be really surprised at the judgment day. Because they're going to meet God and they're going to explain, oh Lord, I thought I could go to heaven. I did this and I did this and I did this. And on top of all that, I did a bunch of good things for you. And I did it in your name. And what's his response? Look down there in verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, they were looking at all their righteousness, and Jesus was looking at their sin. Their righteousness was not good enough. They had sin, and that's what kept them out. And that's what's going to keep us out of heaven. Your prayers, your religious activities, coming to church, all that may be sincere, but it's not going to be sincere enough. It's not going to get you to heaven. I can get out here and then get on I-94 east and think, I'm going to Chicago. Well, if I'm going east, I'm not going to get to Chicago. I'll probably end up in Detroit. And I said, what? But I'm sincere. I really wanted to go to Chicago. It doesn't matter if I really wanted to go to Chicago or not. I'm going the wrong direction. You ever done that? You go in the wrong direction? You really thought you were going somewhere else? It doesn't matter. Sincerity means nothing at the end of the day. You got to be on the right road. In the right road, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Christ said. I think I'll stick with what he said over what religions and everyone else wants to tell me. So people try to be good to be saved, but do you know that Jesus didn't necessarily die for good people? In fact, the scriptures teach that he died for bad people. So if you're a bad person, you've got some hope because Jesus died for you. In fact, you know, Jesus, the Bible says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save lost people. And if you've never seen yourself as lost, you can't be found. You can't be saved. You know, everyone knows Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You can't be found until you were lost. Well, listen to what he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 8. He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. Jesus didn't come and die for all the people who think they're great in this world. He died for the people who realized that they were dirty, filthy sinners. Then it says, God commendeth, or he demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us because we were sinners. If I could get to heaven because I'm a good guy, I don't need Jesus. If you can get to heaven because you've done all these good things and you don't need Jesus. Well, the truth is, you need Jesus. And so that means that all your good works are not going to get you into heaven. They're not going to get you saved. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, the Apostle Paul, before he got saved, he was a Pharisee. He was a former Pharisee when he was writing Titus chapter 3. And he warned us not to think that salvation was based upon our own good works and our own righteousness. He said in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We don't deserve to get into heaven. You don't earn your way into heaven. You don't work your way into heaven. God said, it's not going to happen that way. So the question again is, are you good enough to go to heaven? I'm a pretty good guy. Not so good, huh? We're not as good as we think we are. You know, most of us have a higher estimation over... we estimate ourselves to be a whole lot better than we really are, right? We walk into the mirror, and, you know, you're putting on your face or you're doing your hair or whoever you are, whatever you're doing, and you're doing this number and you go, oh yeah, you look good today. I mean, how many people actually get in the mirror, maybe there's a few, and probably rightly so, they get in the mirror and say, man, you're a dog ugly, man. I mean, we don't normally say that about ourselves, right? We usually think of pretty good. I mean, you ever see people, they're strutting around like they are something, man. They are just like, I mean, they got it. And you look at them like, they don't got it. But they think they got it. I mean, we always think that we're better than we really are. I'm not as bad as my neighbor. I'm not as bad as my brother. I'm not as bad as my parents. I'm not as bad. No, no, no. All our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. Rejected in the sight of God. So, we've seen the standard. We've seen that we've come short of that standard. Now let me give you some good news so you don't walk away here depressed. Let me show you the substitute. A substitute is one who takes the place of another. We've already seen that we must be more righteous than those scribes and Pharisees. And we've noticed that we're not more righteous. So how can we become good enough to get to heaven? How can we get enough goodness, enough righteousness in us? Well, let me explain it this way. I mentioned earlier that we live in Africa. We lived on a horrible road. I mean, it was terrible. There was potholes after potholes after potholes. It required a lot of work. There's times when me and the kids are out there trying to fix holes so we can get up and down our road at times. So we're living this terrible road. I had a four-wheel drive pickup truck, and it just took a beating, and it just kept on moving. Well, you know, as you get down that road, you know, you feel every bump in that thing, and you get on the tar road, and then all of a sudden, the wheels will start shaking. I'm thinking, there's something wrong with my steering here. Well, what had happened through all the, you know, all the potholes and all the abuse it took, the idler arm wore out. So what did I have to do? I had to get down and I had to find a substitute part for the one that was failing. We put a new idler arm and we got that thing aligned again, and then it could do its job. Now, let me use that as a way of illustration. When something's not working, you got to find something that is, that does work. And when you realize that your life is broken and that your righteousnesses are not good enough to get you into heaven, then you need to find the righteousness that is good enough and that is acceptable and that will get you into heaven and that will work. And that righteousness is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful passage. It teaches that Jesus Christ is our substitute. We know what a substitute is. We've all had substitute teachers. When the teacher's not up to doing their job, a substitute comes in and takes the place. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, it says, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, Jesus became sin when he suffered for us on the cross. So what happened here is that the Bible, that verse is very clear. God has made him to be sin for us. See, I am a sinner, and I don't have righteousness. I got two problems. I'm a sinner. That keeps me out of heaven. I'm not righteous, so I can't get into heaven. I got to be righteous to get into heaven. And I also have sin that keeps me out, so I got two problems. But Jesus fixes it all in this verse. He hath made him to be sin for us. So Jesus took my sin. So now I don't have the sin anymore. And then it says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now the righteousness that I didn't have, Jesus did have. He gives it to me. So here I am, a sinner with no righteousness. Jesus is over here, no sin and righteousness. He took my sin and gave me his righteousness, that substitution. I'm not going to get to heaven because I'm a good guy. I'm going to get to heaven because I realize I need a substitute for my sin. And Jesus did that for me when he died on the cross. You don't need to get baptized to have your sins washed away. You can't keep the Ten Commandments and think that's going to get you to save. You can't do all the good works and think you're going to become righteous. No, you need Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, talking about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness. I can't live under righteousness until I let Jesus come into my life. And I'm thankful I did that many years ago, just like Brother Kim did that back in 2001. And God changed his life. God changed my life. Jesus died to take away our sin. And we've seen that our own righteousness isn't good enough. So we need to exceed that of the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Well, who did that? Jesus did. Jesus lived a perfect life. We just celebrated Easter, his resurrection. We discussed the fact that he was crucified and killed. But when he was put on that cross, all of our sins were put on Jesus. Even his enemy, Pontius Pilate, said, There's nothing wrong with Jesus. He could find no wrong in Jesus. One of the thieves on the cross who looked at him, he said, "This man has done nothing amiss." He said, "We deserve to die, but this one has done nothing wrong." Jesus was perfect. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Because he was so pure and clean, he was able to offer himself to take our place. Now we can exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees when we have Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, it talks about how we need his righteousness. And in Philippians chapter 3, 8, 9, Paul was saying that I may win Christ and be found in him. Now listen to what he said. The former Pharisee, the guy that, man, he kept all those rules. He says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. He says, I kept the law. I tried to follow those Ten Commandments, and I thought that was going to make me good enough to go to heaven. He says, now I realize I'm not trusting my own righteousness, which is of the law. He says, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, there's two kinds of righteousness. Either your righteousness or God's righteousness. If you're trusting your righteousness, your good works to get to heaven, you won't get there. Paul realized, although he had all these good works, he realized that wasn't good enough. He said, I'm still empty. I'm still coming short, like that little boy trying to buy the eggs. Paul said, I don't have enough. He says, I need a different kind of righteousness. I need a better payment. I need a payment in full. I need Jesus Christ. And Jesus makes the difference. You know, the scriptures break it down pretty easy in 1 John chapter 5. It says that he that has the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Two types of people. People with Jesus, people without Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you've received him as your Savior because you repented of your sin, you knew your sin was going to take you to hell, and you said, I don't want that, I want Jesus. You receive him, that gets you into heaven. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You can have religion. You can do a lot of good things in Jesus' name. But you might hear, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. We must be willing to give up our own way and repent. Several years ago, my wife and I were traveling on a trip, and I thought I knew the way. And she pointed out, quite humbly, that I was wrong and that I was going the wrong way. And like any man who thinks he's always right, I just kept going the wrong way. I didn't want to agree with her for a while. But then I finally had to give up my own way and accept that she was right. And I had to accept her way instead of my way on the highway. Or I had to accept her way instead of my own way. In the same way, you must be willing to give up your own way to heaven and accept God's way. You must repent. You must see, I repented. I turned around and went the opposite direction. I went the right way. And you must admit that you have been wrong and that you need Jesus as your substitute. If you want your sin to remove, you've got to come to him and stop thinking that you're good enough to go to heaven. I'll close with in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. It says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. See, it didn't say his works were counted for righteousness. It says his faith. Faith and works are very different things. Many people think they're going to work their way to heaven. You can be as good as you think you're going to be, but you're not going to get to heaven by working. We've just seen that over and over through the scriptures. You need faith. Faith is to depend on something. To rest. We need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I see this chair here. I know it could hold me up if I sat in it, but right now I'm not trusting it. I'm standing. But I know if I put my weight here and cast my weight into this chair, it would hold me up. So all I have to do is just... I can sit there. I better get up. I had to put my weight there, and when I put my weight there, I was trusting that chair to hold me up. And we need to cast our life onto the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I need you. and your faith is your faith in Christ is what will be counted for righteousness. And so, once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, asking Him to come in and take away that sin, you will be righteous. You will be good enough to go to heaven. I'm thankful many years ago, I knew I was a lost sinner. I felt I came under so much conviction for my sin. I realized if I had died without Christ, without my sins forgiven, I was going to go to hell. I knew it. And I came and asked Jesus, would you please come in and take my sins away? And He did. He changed my life, and I'm so grateful He did. And what He did for me, He can do for you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm sure God spoke to some this morning about this matter of salvation. Are you good enough to go to heaven? The answer is no. We've all come short of the glory of God. And your righteousness is not going to get you saved. Your sin's pulling you down. And all the good things you've done in life is not going to make up for it. You know that. What you need is Jesus. Have you seen your need for Jesus? Will you receive Him today as your Savior? If you'd like to receive Him as your Savior, we'd love to help you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm wondering, I'd like to pray for you.